Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading and our sermon text this morning come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Now he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus lived, therefore, a little bit of a lazy theme, right? You can use it every Sunday in the Easter season. That's the whole point. Jesus is arisen, and therefore, come on. But today is the last Sunday in which we get a chance to look at the resurrection appearances of Jesus. We have more Sundays in the Easter season coming up, but we start to look ahead to Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is the last Sunday that we're going to be looking right at the resurrection appearances. And therefore, we have more than a few things we want to make sure we remember and get into on this Sunday before I move on. And our gospel reading from Luke is actually well equipped for that. Luke gives this one appearance of Jesus kind of as a summary of all of his appearances. He has the Emmaus disciples, and then he has this account here. And if you go to the next verse in Luke, you have the ascension. So he just kind of uses this one episode as a summary of everything that Jesus taught them when he appeared to them. And notice one of the most important, the very first thing that happens in our text, Jesus lives, therefore we have peace. Of course, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, our last Sunday service, but it's an important thing. I want to go over it again. Jesus stood in the midst of them, and right away, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace to you." It's not only the first thing Jesus says to them here, but it's the first thing Jesus always says to them when he appears. And not only that, not only after his resurrection, but even before, in the Old Testament, the Lord appeared to people, or when angels appeared, some variation of this. Sometimes, "Do not be afraid." Sometimes, "Peace, let your hearts be still." But basically the same message: do not need to fear the Lord anymore. Peace be to you. Now, of course, it was the normal Jewish greeting, just like we say hi whenever we see each other. We have no idea what that word actually means. It's like, "Hey," having knowledge of your presence. Now, the Jews said shalom, or peace, whenever they met somebody. But of course, Jesus really means it, and fulfills it, and fills it with a meaning that no one else could fill it with. Not only is it the normal greeting of the Israelites and the Jews, it's the normal greeting of almost every sci-fi hero, right? Now, what Captain Kirk always said whenever he met a new alien, a race, "We come in peace," almost a little different. But it's so I always said, "We come in peace," and then later on in the episodes, there was always gunfights and someone always died, right? Because humans never come in peace. We can't bring peace because we don't have it ourselves. We are filled with with sin and wickedness and evil, and that's what we bring everywhere that we go. But Jesus, of course, is different. Jesus does indeed come in peace and brings peace to give to us. That's one of the important differences here. One of the important differences here, isn't it? Jesus doesn't say, I come in peace, but he says, I come to bring you peace. And that was something that the disciples certainly were going to need in the upcoming years as they went out into the world, because they weren't going to have any peace as they went out from a worldly perspective to share the gospel. They were going to have troubles, they were going to have tribulations, they were going to be persecuted. But they could always look back. They could always look back to this first Easter Sunday. I remember the Lord, the resurrected Lord, standing there in their midst. I remember what that resurrected Lord means. That we can have peace in this world, no matter what's going on out there. Because Jesus lives. And if Jesus lives, then we will go to heaven. And nothing that happens here matters. My family lore has it that one of my great uncles or something like that, during the Depression, either actually shot and killed or shot and didn't kill, there's some question there. A banker came to repossess his farm and was then spent the rest of his life in prison. And you can understand, from a human perspective, the turmoil and the angst, the anger, the troubled heart that would lead him to do that, a banker comes to take away your farm. But even in such a difficult situation as that, we want to look back. Look back at Easter evening with the disciples and say, Jesus lives, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. As Martin Luther said, take they our fame, goods, wives, child, land, everything, let these all be gone. And still nothing won. The kingdom ours remains. And so we can always find peace in that knowledge of the resurrected Lord. Of course, the disciples themselves did not yet understand this, did not have this peace, because the very next sentence, they were greatly troubled. And Jesus himself said, why are you troubled? Why are you allowing doubts to arise? And they thought that they saw a ghost. Now, many modern people would right away say, oh, those ancient, superstitious, you know, hillbillies always seeing ghosts all over the place. That's what uneducated people do. They think there's more going on here than that. The text implies that thinking they saw a ghost was actually their way of dealing with a very difficult thing. Right? All of a sudden, arisen, a man whom they saw die was risen from the dead and was standing in front of them, and it appeared out of nowhere. He just walked through the walls and suddenly was there. How are you going to deal with that situation with your mind? Well, ghosts, that's something they actually know. Now, they've probably never seen a ghost, never seen a spirit, right? But they knew campfire stories. That was something their mind could latch onto. And so the situation is just so difficult for their minds to grasp that thinking him a ghost is actually comforting. It's something they know. It's something that they can grasp onto. They're really struggling with this new reality. But Jesus goes to great lengths to show them it's not true. Gives them time and shows them the proof to bring the truth home to them that he was indeed risen from the dead. He shows them his hands and his feet. He'll go ahead and touch them. I have a body. And yet still they did not believe. And this time, they still did not believe because of joy. It's too good to be true, right? You get the letter in the mail saying, you won the lottery, throw away. Because obviously it's a scam. You don't send them your social security number. Actually, use that as an April Fool's joke for my dad once. You wrote up a type that really official-looking letter in the mail. It didn't take them long, but I think there was a few seconds there, or a minute there, I think I realized it was you go to the doctor and the doctor said, oh yeah, your health looks great, your heart rate is good, your blood pressure is good, your cholesterol is good, you probably want to go find a new doctor, right? Because he's obviously lying. We are conditioned by this world not to believe really good news because it doesn't happen. Because we live in a sinful and evil and corrupt world, and because of our sin and our evilness, things are usually bad. And if they're not bad, if we do have good news, you know, the Lord gives us something good, a child, he gives us marriage or whatever, it doesn't take us very long to corrupt it. Now, how soon after your wedding day did you and your spouse have your first fight? Probably not long. Very easily we corrupt and destroy that which is good with our sinfulness. But this is the best news, the most glorious news, and it is true, and it is real, and it can't be corrupted by our sinfulness. It is the news that destroys and takes away our sin, that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. Jesus takes the time to really bring this message home to the disciples and make sure they understand it. But then, very quickly, he moves on. We have things that we need to talk about, he says. The time is short. And these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. I didn't listen to anything new I'm telling you. I've been trying to tell it to you for the last 3 years. If you're not very good at listening, let's try it again, right? These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. That's, of course, what we were talking about with the children. But the purpose of all scripture is Jesus. And when we see Jesus in all the scripture, we understand it correctly. And when we don't see Jesus in the scriptures, in every verse of it, it's just scribbles. We may think we understand it, but we are not. We saw that throughout the spring here in our Lenten series, as we went through the Old Testament story after Old Testament story, showing how those things were prophesying, looking forward to, or pointing us to Jesus, the Messiah. From that very first gospel word in the garden, in chapter 3 of Genesis, he will crush the head of the serpent. Through Isaac, who was the whole purpose of that sacrifice of Isaac, was to look ahead to Jesus. The Passover lamb, Jonah, that one we didn't have, but that's another important one. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish, the Psalms, Isaiah, on and on and on. All of Scripture, the purpose is to teach us about Jesus. And the disciples and the Israelites, of course, they knew these scriptures well. The disciples probably could have recited every psalm. They probably knew them all by heart. They knew these scriptures well. They grew up with the Bible stories, and yet they understood them so little. They thought of it as a list of rules that they had to follow. And if they did that, then they would be okay. Isn't that exactly the way so many people today treat Scripture? As a list of rules. In fact, that's the very reason many people don't come to church. Oh, it's just a list of rules. I had somebody tell me that just a couple weeks ago. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to have all those rules in my life. And that's the way they view church, and that's the way they view Scripture. It's just a list of rules. And even many churches, a list of rules or a how-to, inspirational. You've got to actualize. You've got to believe. You see, the women, they were first to the tomb, so you've got to put women first in your life. It's not the meaning of the resurrection story. Jesus ate boiled fish. You need to eat boiled fish. That's the way so many preachers treat the scripture. It's just, you got to glean it from these little things that you can make a list of how to and inspire us for better living. Well, they read the scriptures, but they're not reading it. They're not understanding it. They're not seeing it. Because it's not about what you should do. about what Jesus has done for you. And yes, we probably should eat boiled fish, and then our doctors will be a lot happier with us. But that's not the purpose of the scripture. Every word is to teach us this wonderful and glorious news that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And when Jesus showed the disciples that, their minds were open. All of a sudden, they understood, they saw what they had never seen before, the richness and the glory, how all of Scripture is filled with, remember the theme of this Sunday, the mercy of the Lord in sending His Son to die for us. And now there's no time to waste. Having this peace, having this joy, understanding that truth, that all of Scripture proclaims this wonderful message of God's mercy towards sinners through Jesus Christ, there's no time to waste sitting around twiddling their thumbs. Disciples need to go out. They need to share that message. And Jesus himself tells them that. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You can imagine the whirlwind of emotions and feelings that must have gone through the disciples during these 47 days from Palm Sunday until Pentecost, 57 days ago. Jesus comes riding in triumphant, then he dies. Judas betrays him, Peter denies him, then he's alive. They see him, then he goes up to heaven. Goes back and forth. And after all that, you can understand how they might say, wait a minute. You know, we need a minute here to catch our breath. I know I certainly, after Lent and Holy Week, would like to have a week off now. So the Lord kind of gave me a week off last week. That Jesus says, no, there's no time for that. And you know, when you think about God's track record as far as how quickly he fulfills his promises, and he says, well, I'm coming quickly, right? But it's been 2,000 years. And he promised to send the Messiah in Genesis 3, and then it was 4,000 years, and he called that quickly. You might think, well, the promise of the Father, the promise that he says he's going to send, well, how long is that going to take? Well, this time he actually does it quickly by our understanding. A little over a week, just 10 days later, he sends it because it's important. Jesus is arisen. The Holy Spirit is given quickly so that the disciples can go out and share this wonderful message. This is urgent. Jesus is risen from the dead and your sins are forgiven. And we want to share that. And often we take that same attitude of, well, there's time later. Well, now it's not a good time to talk to my friend or my relative or whoever, my co-worker, about Jesus. Oh, you know, maybe another day I'll do that. Well, you never know when you also might die in a freak gasoline accident, right? You never know when Jesus is going to return. Now is the time. And this is urgent to get that message out. But it's also daunting. Very daunting for many reasons. And Jesus knows that, and he also knows that we all don't have the strength, the authority, the power, and we aren't able to do it by ourselves. And so Jesus gives this last promise, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And throughout Scripture, over and over again, that promise was given in the Old Testament that the Spirit would be sent, that the Helper would be given, he would go with us every step of the way. Wherever we are, whenever we speak the word, the Holy Spirit is right there by our side to help us, helping and aiding us in that task. We could never do it ourselves. And next week, we're going to see that again, very dynamically. Next week is Good Shepherd Sunday. And part of the Good Shepherd story, of course, is he goes to find that lost sheep. And that's wonderful news because sometimes we're the ones who are lost and we know that Jesus is coming to us. And it also means those other ones, other people who are lost, other people who are not yet part of the congregation, are not part of his church, but Jesus knows his sheep, and he is going to find them. He is going to bring them into his church. So it takes a little bit of the fear and pressure off us to know that Jesus is a good shepherd. He's going to accomplish his task. And we can go forward and delight in doing it and sharing that message, knowing that the Holy Spirit of Jesus is working through us. Jesus is risen from the dead. That means we have peace. It means we have forgiveness. It means we have joy. You know, maybe not the kind of joy where we go leaping through a field of lilies all the time, but the kind of joy and contentment that even when we're outwardly sad and distressed about something, we can comfort ourselves with the knowledge that we are going to heaven. But we also have urgent business to be about, and we have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to guide and help us every step of the way. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.